You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
We are ready to go on a midweek Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, taking it through the 3 o'clock hour at 3:05 here on a snowy Wednesday in eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass once again here today. Plenty to talk about. It's Wednesday. That means a visit from Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, as we get ready for Iowa and Ohio State, number 2 and number 4 on Saturday afternoon at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. That'll be a 1 o'clock meet time for that one. Should be a dandy. We'll talk about that. Look back at Illinois. Also, we look back at last night's basketball. Iowa State did what they were expected to do. Iowa did not. We will talk about that on the program today as well. 319-366-1600 is the text line available to you. As always, love to hear from you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is 319-366-1600. As we come your way at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And please be careful out there today. It is a little slick out there, a little bit more snow than I think a lot of folks anticipated, but that's the way it goes at times. And just give yourself a little extra time. Bring that speed down. If you have a truck and or a pickup truck, that does not mean that it will not slide if it is going too fast. I'm just going to throw that out as a public service announcement. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, interesting night last night.
That's a very succinct way to say it. Hi, Isaac. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just messing around with some of the computer stuff back here. Some stuff's not turning on, and I don't know why.
I think it's been one of those days.
Yeah, it seems that's what I have heard.
This morning was one of those days I heard, and maybe it's translated to this afternoon, the PM side
of
things.
It's not a massive issue. Just one of my monitors is not turning on, and I'm confused.
Are you going to blame Jaden?
No, I think it's just a bad cord or something. I have no clue why it wouldn't be turning on. I checked all the connections.
All right.
Unless I'm not that tech savvy.
I'm not either. Find somebody else, man. All right. Well, Mark, you breached the subject there last night. Iowa falls at home to the last place Minnesota Gophers, 72-67, in front of what I will term friends and family last night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It was cold. It was an 8 o'clock start on a high school basketball night, but they had 14,000 in Ames last night for Iowa State and Central Florida. Being there last night, we guesstimated 2,000 to 2,500 last night in attendance for Iowa and Minnesota. No, it was not Michigan State coming in, nor was it Indiana on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock. It was the last place team, or it was the last place team in the Big Ten Conference anyway coming in, Mark, but Certainly not an A1 performance by this Iowa basketball team.
I don't know. I was so disinterested, I became a lot more interested in the condition of the male cheerleader who had an accident late in the game. Apparently, he's okay.
Yeah, apparently okay. That was scary. That was toward just ahead of the last television timeout, during the last TV timeout. And, yeah, it was just one of those things that seemed like just kind of lost focus in the air, or something went wrong and just landed very awkwardly on his shoulder. I'm glad to hear he's okay, though. He did give the thumbs up as he was going into the tunnel at Carver-Hawkeye Arena and held up the game a little bit, but certainly our thoughts are with that young man, and it certainly did wear on the minds of the Spirit Squad last night. But as far as the game is concerned, that was a turkey. Iowa falls behind almost by 20 points, did mount a comeback at the end, but it was too little too late. Again, defensive breakdowns, even though the fact Minnesota shot only 41% for the game, 29% from three, but Gophers played exemplary defense. They made sure Josh Dix was not going to get shots. Peyton Sanford, another off-night shooting from three. Iowa, an off-night shooting from three-point land. Minnesota took the shot clock down to single digits, got mismatches with bigger guys on the, and we've said it many, many times, the less physical Iowa folks inside, not named Owen Freeman. And Minnesota seemingly at the end got the buckets when they needed to get a bucket. And when they did get doubled down on the post, they kicked it out for a wide open three and hit a couple of those. And you look up and it's 72-67 when people were leaving at the last TV timeout after the cheerleader was okay.
Listen, returning from a West Coast road trip that was awful, being at home, I don't care what the weather was like, against the last place team, or what was the last place team in the Big Ten, Iowa led this game for 25 seconds. 3 of 21 from three-point range. Thank you, Jeff, for pointing that out on the text line. 10 points in the first 10 minutes. Something is wrong with this basketball team. And people are calling for Fran McCaffrey's head now. Hey, it just isn't last night. It isn't just the last three games in my mind. The conversation needs to be had, and I'm sure Beth Getz will be having it if this continues. To paint a rosier picture, this team was finished. I looked at three or four this afternoon, picked a finish in the preseason polls, how much we love those, finished anywhere from 11th to 13th in the league. Nobody expected much out of this basketball team. Where is Iowa right now? Tied for 11th. Where will it finish? That remains to be seen. That's the rosiest picture I can paint right now. And, you know, normally I tend to give coaches the benefit of the doubt. But I'm growing more into the camp that maybe Fran McCaffrey's time has come at the University of Iowa. His contract goes through 2027-28, and he's paid $3.4 million a year. It's going to cost a few bucks to buy him out if that's what Iowa chooses to do. But right now, this is not a good team, and the program is on a downward trajectory, I think.
And let's face it, what is the first thing that has to go downhill for a change to be made, or the discussion about a change being made? And that is the attendance. 1345 says, ESPN said the attendance was 8,004 last night. Well, that's tickets sold. Ask Nebraska football about that. There were 2,500 people at Carver-Hawkeye Arena last night. Trust me on that one. I can't disagree with anything you said, Mark. I kind of had the feeling going into this year that this was going to be a pivotal year. I thought there was a chance that Fran McCaffrey, this might be the last year, even though he does have that contract through the 2027-2028 season, just because of the fact that the family situation. Connor is now an assistant coach at Butler. Patrick's playing there, but Patrick won't be playing there next year. Jack is a senior at Iowa City West. He's going to be going to Butler. There's a lot of Indiana and Indianapolis things that are playing a part of it, not to mention number 22, who's currently dating his oldest son. But when you get 2,500 people and the culture is going into the season that, you know, it's not really, for whatever reason that may be, And the text line is full of them, from several people saying that Fran McCaffrey can't recruit to saying Jason in Nebraska saying he can recruit, but he can't coach. The truth lies somewhere in between. As you mentioned, right now, this is not a very good basketball team. They are struggling defensively. They struggled offensively for the first time last night. And you're going to have those games offensively from somebody that played basketball, but you can't have them on nights that you need to beat the last place team. And I think everything came together in a perfect storm of badness last night on and off the court, Mark.
Well, if I'm evaluating Fran McCaffrey, and I'm not, except as a radio talk show host, there's two things. Number one is the record. Is this team competitive? Is it improving? And secondly is the attendance. In these financial times that universities are facing, how can you justify 2,500 butts in the seats, 8,000 tickets sold? Either one is not very good. It's like a restaurant. You know, you go to a restaurant for the first time, you have a so-so experience. Well, I'll try it a second time, and then you have a worse experience. You're not going to go back. There's too many options. There's too many options for people in a very long season, many games you have to commit to, as opposed to football. You're committing to seven Saturdays, day or night, in a football season. You're committing to a whole lot more. And what's the return on your investment? Right now, it's not great. And Fran McCaffrey's career resume is to be applauded. Four different teams he has taken to the NCAA tournament, including Iowa. But at Iowa, his Big Ten record is six games over 500 in nearly 15 seasons. Six games over 500. 6-11 in the NCAA tournament. Did win a Big Ten tournament 3 years ago. But these are things that are going to have to be evaluated. And yes, maybe the expectations were not great this year, and maybe Iowa is meeting those expectations this year. But it's natural for fans to expect more.
It is. 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in. You have something, Isaac, you look like you have something on your mind.
No, I feel bad necessarily, because Fran's obviously been well compensated, but it is sad that maybe this is how it's going to end, just because he has done a lot of good pulling Iowa out of the Licklider days, which were
dreadful,
not fun times. And he has had, whether fans want to admit it or not, he has had good success at Iowa, considering Iowa's basketball sort of national standing. So it's sad that this is how it's going to, it feels like this is how it's ending. And I think people will look back 5 to 10 years down the road and say the Fran time was a lot better than they're thinking it is right now.
Could be. Just needs a semblance of a defense, and his teams would be way better, says 1345. And 6056 saying it looks like the players' assistants have basically quit following the lead of their head coach. Here's what, one thing I do not get is the fact that everybody has been on Fran McCaffrey over the years for the tirades. Well, the tirades are not there for whatever reason. And now everyone's angry because he doesn't show enough emotion. Got to find a sweet spot in the middle there, I guess.
I think Fran McCaffrey cares. I think
he does too.
With his hands in his pockets or arms folded, that just projects to people, right or wrong, projects to people that there's indifference there. And I come from a time, and so do you, Scott, where people complained to high heavens when George Raveling was wearing, sweatsuit on the sideline to coach. I mean, people hated that. And he was stuffing his mouth with pizza after the game, before the post-game interview. And you know, finding ways to criticize a head coach. To say that Fran McCaffrey doesn't care, I think is wrong, probably.
It is.
But just his mannerisms, I think, maybe suggest otherwise.
I mean, watching that game last night, and even though he was 1-for-8, he did not have a great game. Peyton Sanford was still, I mean, he's doing everything he can to try to get everybody on that bench motivated, in the huddles motivated. Others were doing that as well. Sherman Dillard, Matt Gaten's doing a lot of talking and just trying to get everybody psyched up. It's, you know, when things aren't going well, things aren't going well. The culture is a part of this. That is a big part of it, Mark. And there are many reasons, and I'm sure people can list many, many reasons on why attendance has waned at Iowa men's basketball, why there is a lack of interest in Iowa men's basketball. And we talked about it over the last 2 years with the women being incredibly successful. That has not helped Fran McCaffrey and the men's basketball team one bit. A lot of people are spending their hard-earned money going to the women's basketball games instead of the men's basketball games at this point. Probably not helping at all that Iowa State is also number 3 in the country at this point. It's not helping that they're on a 3-game losing streak right now. There are just a lot of factors into it. We're going to talk with Mark coming up here in a little bit. And then when we're done with that, we'll revisit this before 4 o'clock here. But I think this has to do with culture, too. I mean, it's not as easy as, okay, let's pay, you know, Fran $8 million or whatever the case may be, and let's move on to another coach. Who is going to be that coach? That is the question. And if you get somebody that a lot of people don't know, are people going to fill the seats at Carver-Hawkeye Arena? Or do you go with somebody who has ties to the University of Iowa? I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of ways to go about this, Mark.
I'm not quite ready to kick Fran McCaffrey out the door, but my opinions on the program right now are waning. I have to say that, you know, maybe the next Iowa coach is in West Virginia right now, or possibly would have been. I don't know. Darren DeVries is terrific. I don't want to necessarily get into the who's next sort of thing, but what's next for this Iowa program? You know, will it beat Penn State Friday night? Penn State's in the same situation, 3-5. You know, you would have thought last night Iowa was going to get a victory, get back to square, 500 in the Big Ten, and go from there. I mean, Ohio State, Purdue, and Wisconsin are on the horizon after Penn State. After what you've seen the last 3 games, is that appetizing? I don't think so.
Yeah. And Jason says that Fran has recruited some great players, National Players of the Year twice. And the defense has brought these teams down, and it is a pattern. Josh and Ely will agree with me. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Jason.
That was one player.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We're going to get to more about the Iowa basketball situation here in just a little bit. It is 3:23. Let's go ahead and do this, Mark. Let's go ahead and get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update a little bit early, and then we'll get to Mark Ironside here. It is brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. And they are next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday, and online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
The PGA Tour is having a Wednesday through Saturday event this week, the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego. First round underway, Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson off to a fine start. He is 5-under par through 10 holes and tied for second. Tonight's NBA game between the Bucks and the Pelicans has been postponed after a storm dumped 10 inches of snow on New Orleans Tuesday. There is some concern the Bucks will not be able to travel back to Milwaukee for a game tomorrow night against Miami. Kirkwood's number one ranked women's basketball team shoots for a national junior college Division II record tonight against Iowa Western. The Eagles are seeking their 64th straight home court win. They already have broken their own junior college record for consecutive overall wins with 40. Kirkwood topped Iowa Western by 40 points earlier this season. And finally, the Caitlin Clark Foundation announced today a partnership with Scholastic Publishing Company and intends to provide 22,000 books to schools in need in Iowa and Indiana.
Cool. That's the good news of the day right there. And Zach, off to a good start. All right, 3:25, and we will take a break, come back, and talk some wrestling for a little while here. Mark Ironside set to join us. Big meet coming up, and it will be a jam-packed Carver-Hawkeye Arena coming up on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. We'll take a break, come back, and have more for you on a Wednesday midweek edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us, more to come right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have some light snow showers and flurries lingering through the afternoon. Temperatures will be in the mid to upper 20s. And then tonight, the clouds will be sticking around and temperatures will drop down into the single digits. Those clouds will clear up by morning and we'll have plenty of sunshine tomorrow, but it will be cold with highs in the teens. Then as we head into Friday, temperatures will make their way into the mid 20s. We'll be in the mid 30s by Saturday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and they know life is busy, and Quickstar does get it. Whether you're craving fresh hot coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal or a snack, stop on by your neighborhood Quickstar because you can get variety, quality, and fast service. And also, if you need gas, you can feel confident with Quickstar's fully guaranteed fuel to keep your day moving. Plus, great little perks like free ATMs with no hidden fees, free air for your tires, and Quickstar is here to make your life a little smoother, offering all the convenience that you need. And they got some great specials right now. Nature's Touch Butter, 16-ounce, $2.99, limit two. 8-piece fried chicken or 8-piece jumbo chicken tenders. They are available right now for just $9.99. And bagels, the quickery bagels, assorted varieties, 99 cents each, or three for $2.79. Available at your neighborhood Quickstar.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it. Did you know that 1 in 4 people seeking treatment for ED are under 40? So you're not alone, and even better, Hims can help. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs at up to 95% less than the brand names when you get started at hims.com/joy. It all starts with an online intake form. From there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. Through hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit. hims.com/joy.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Back with you at 3:28 here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. And yeah, Cajun Troy, New Orleans has more snow than we do here in good old Eastern Iowa. And they got it all dumped at once. 10 inches.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of snow.
Especially when you are not equipped and don't have the equipment on your city payroll to or in your city arsenal to handle that. The good news for them, I'm sure, is going to melt pretty quickly. But
then it's, where does it go? Because they're at sea level.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough problem down there. And they can have it, I guess. Better than us now that hunting season's over. I don't care.
Well, anyway, we don't want to talk snow. We want to talk wrestling. Mark Ironside joining us here. And on a Wednesday, his appearance as always, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And as we get ready for a jam-packed Carver Hawkeye Arena on Saturday afternoon for arguably, well, that or Okie State is going to be one of the two biggest meets of the year at home.
I think Okie State will be for sure the biggest.
Okay.
Just because it's the last dual meet at home of the season. It's going to be an enormous dual meet with from a 2-3 ranking at the time, unless for some reason one of us would get upset between now and then. And then you bring in David Taylor and Thomas Gilman, the fireworks that brings in. So, and then it's close to the Flow Day of Wrestling or Flow Night of Wrestling, the Extreme Arena, Spencer Lee. It's just a lot going on around that time and that dual meet, circling that dual meet. But this weekend against Ohio State, this is the next biggest thing on the docket for the Iowa wrestling team. So this is the biggest thing we've had so far. This is a big dual meet against Ohio State, who's ranked 4th. We're ranked 2nd. They're ranked 4th. So this is a big duel for Iowa, and they got some big guns in their lineup. We got some guys that might see the lineup that are in there, and we got some other guys that aren't in the lineup that have been in there. So it should be a fun Saturday at 1 p.m. followed by the Arctic Plunge. There's a lot of excitement about this dual meet here this Saturday.
As you look at the potential lineups, Mark, depending on the rankings you prefer, there's probably four or five top 10 matchups. What are you looking at in potential matchups?
Well, unfortunately, where they're really good, we're not. So it's not like it's going to be I'm really looking forward to that match. You know, I mean, they bring in their number one ranked 141 pounder, Jesse Mendez, but he's, you know, taking on one of our 41 pounders where we're not ranked. We got three of them and we're not ranked at all. So that's kind of going to be a lopsided match, or so supposedly on paper, a lopsided match. So there's nothing too exciting there. 149 could be interesting. Depends on what Parco shows up. I mean, Kyle Parco, as obviously we've seen last week, he had a 1-0 match this last week.
Yep.
Run on an escape point. I mean, you're ranked 2, 3, 4th in the country. You can't be doing that. I mean, you got to be able to score points. And he's capable of scoring points. But you can't just do it when you feel like it. And, you know, you got a champion and a great wrestler is going to do it on a regular basis every time they step on the mat, or at least try. And we just did not perform up to our capabilities at 149 pounds last week. But, you know, he's wrestling D'Amelio of Ohio State, who's a grad senior. He's ranked as high as 6th, actually. They did wrestle in the 23 national championships where Parco won that one 11-0, and that shows the dominance that Parco has and what he's got in his arsenal from that top position. So going to that match, that could be an interesting match, but it doesn't have to be. It just kind of depends on, you know, if we show up and we're ready to perform or not. So that'll probably be the most interesting one. And then also, too, 174 yep. is a big, big matchup with Patrick Kennedy, who, again, he's ranked 5th all the way across the board in all rankings. But we don't know if he's even going to be the man at 174 pounds come Big Ten championships times. I mean, as soon as Nelson Brands gets healthy, then they're going to have to figure that one out somehow. But he's going to be taking on Carson how do you say that?
Karchla?
Karchla, yeah. He's been around for a long time. He's a graduate senior. I should know that. I've said his name 5 million times on air, but it's new season. But he's a big, strong, burly 174-pounder. He's really tough to score points on. I look for it to be a very close match, and it should be a very interesting match. So 149, 174, probably going to be the premier matches, but then also heavyweight.
Yep.
Where Ben Keeter, who is not favored at all, but you know what? You can't count him out. I mean, Ben Keeter lost a tight match against Luffman of Illinois last week. And I saw Coach Gable after the meet down in the – or I should say up in the wrestling room. And I asked him what he thought about that match. And he said, you know, it's just kind of like what I told Ben. It's like you can't let the clock dictate the outcome of a match. You got to start earlier. You can't wait till the end, get in a couple of shots, and let the clock run out on you. And that's kind of what happened there, and it's so true. We just need more out of Ben earlier in the match. And then let's say those two shots, he didn't finish close to the end of the third period there, the last 30 seconds. Why can't we do that in the first period? You don't score, then hell, you still got 4 minutes left to wrestle, you know, and instead of waiting until the end. But this match Saturday against this Nick Feldman, who's ranked as high as fourth, this would be an enormous win and a great bounce back for Ben Keeter. And how Ben Keeter has to be looking at this is what better opportunity after losing a hard-fought, tough match against Luffman that he could have, should have, would have won, than to have an opportunity to go out and redeem himself in Carver in front of the fans in a big match and knock someone off that's ranked as high as fourth in the country. So he doesn't have anything to lose. Keeter doesn't. I mean, everything is on Feldman at this point. So Keeter should be going into this one really relaxed and no pressure and just going out and wrestling.
33 should be good too. I mean, Ayala. Now if they've got an Orr in there. So
yeah, Mozakis, exactly sure. Yeah, he's okay. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's definitely okay. He's a very worthy opponent. He's ranked 9th, 10th. Drake coming off of a big win against Beard of Illinois, who was the number 2 seeded wrestler at the time, or number 2 ranked wrestler at the time. And I think we were 4th, and now we're where are we at here? We're up to as high as 1, but 2-2-3. So it depends on what ranking you're looking at. So that, I mean, Drake, you look at him where he started the season with a loss to where he's at now. He's been doing a really good job. We had to just stay on that consistent trail.
The name that stood out on the Probables, Mark, was Ja'Cory Teamer.
Yep.
Back on the sheet. Will he be back on the lineup?
I'd be very, very surprised if he actually throws the singlet straps up and snaps the headgear and takes the whistle on Saturday. But I think it'll be good for him to be in the lineup, making weight, going through the warm-up routine and just kind of getting back into the swing of things, I think is very, very beneficial and very smart for Coach Brands to do that. But I'd be really surprised if we actually seen him toe the line.
But he's close.
Yeah, he's obviously getting close. I mean, I was thinking end of this month, so we're getting close to the end of the month. Maybe Penn State, possibly. But is that a match you want to throw him into right away, right out of the gate, your first match back? I don't know. But at least we're getting close.
I'll play this devil's advocate here just to say that if things aren't going well and they need a little bit of a spark, does Teamer roll out of the tunnel?
I mean, it's possible.
It's happened before.
It has happened before. It also kind of depends on what weight we start at. I'm trying to think. Technically, pretty much everybody always starts at 25, and I think Tom Ryan does typically as well too. So I think it would start at 25. So I don't know if it might be too early to tell. I mean, things would have to really go south early for us to. I mean, Drake would have to lose. 25 would have to lose. 49 might have to. I mean, they have to be really going south.
It'd have
south.
To be something bad.
But at the same time, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, those are some tough matches for us. So, very tough. I do see Cruz is listed and not a Cale Peterson, just Cruz by himself. So that's something different, as well as 184, where Gabe Arnold is the only one listed and not Ferrari this time. So maybe we're starting to shake some things out at some of those weights. So, you know, and this is another big match for, you know, we didn't talk about this one, but 125, even though these guys aren't ranked super high, that's a big match right there. You know, that'd be a big, great opportunity for Joey Cruz, who's ranked 28th, to go in and knock someone off 12th, 13th. That's ranked country, and that'd be big for a seat at the Big Ten Championships. So lots of big matches in this dual meet, lots of unknowns, not very many familiar matchups, and I know that I'm looking forward to it.
Mark, I wanted to ask you a story that to be honest, it came courtesy of our friend Dick Briggs, but the Oklahoma is going to host, and I sent you a copy of this, host a National Duels Invitational next November, a $1 million purse where the winning team gets $200,000 and other teams get paid as well. Is this good for the sport, and then should Iowa get involved in it?
Well, I mean, yeah, thank you very much for sending that to me, by the way, and thanks to Coach Briggs as well, too, because I didn't know anything about it. I'm curious to know, like, okay, how do you go about doing this? Where does that money go? Does it go back to the school? Does it go back to that wrestling program? Does it go to your RTC? Like, I mean, how are can they legally put it back? I mean, there's a lot of unknowns here that it's I've never heard of or seen anything like this. I mean, I don't think you can just take that money and, okay, well, Iowa wins. They get $200,000. We're going to split that up amongst, you know, the 10 athletes evenly. It's not going back to the guys. You know, it can't. I don't think it can be considered because it can't be based off performance. So it shouldn't technically be allowed to go back to the athletes. So, I mean, it can't be NIL money can't be performance based. That is like the one rule. Now, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, people can do whatever they want with that money and say, oh, I just gave him this amount or whatever. But, you know, but technically it can't be based on performance. So how they're going to distribute that money, where it's going to come from, how it's going to be added into a team's budget, I don't know. I really, really don't know.
There's basketball that's similar. The new tournament that started this past November in Vegas.
Okay.
And I don't know either how it's divided. It goes into the team fund, whatever that is. And
now, when you say team fund,
well, it goes to the university.
So it goes to university. So they can use it for a charter flight. They can use it for meal money. I mean, but they dictate how that money is spent.
It's not like you hit a three, you're going to get, or you got a takedown, you're going to get, $3,000.
The money's not going back to the athletes directly, I can imagine. It would just go back into their budget. Right now, heck, everybody would take $200,000, $150,000. What did you say? What, $50,000 just for showing up?
Yeah.
$20,000
just for showing up? I mean, well, that's going to help pay for all your travel expenses right there. So that's huge. How, again, the money's distributed, I don't know. And it also depends upon the program. Some programs, that money's extremely helpful and beneficial for them to even get to the tournament. Now you're talking to, a program like Penn State, Okie State, Iowa. Well, it doesn't really matter as much. But money's money, so I guess we'll see. It's just an interesting concept. I'm curious to see how it plays out. Should Iowa go to it? I don't know. It's early in the season. I don't know the preparation you're going to really have up to that point. I will say this, and I don't want to speak for Tom Brands, but I'd be very, very, very surprised if Iowa participated in that.
At least the first year. And it's the soldiers. Does that give, they've got the soldier salute too.
Yeah, and the soldier salute's going to be interesting, and I can't say anything. Soldier salute's back, and it's going to grow and get bigger. Let me just say that, and something's going to come out really soon with that, and I am super, super pumped.
Stay tuned.
I guess the whole point of that story, Mark, is whoever's ponying up the $1 million, and I think it's an individual in Oklahoma, they're thinking outside the box and then promoting wrestling.
Yeah, and that's what's fantastic about it. Absolutely. I'm all for this. Don't get me wrong. 110% for it. Just don't know. Kind of just curious to see how that money is divvied up, where it goes, who dictates how it's spent, and then what schools does that money really matter to. And I mean, like a school like you and I, they're going to be there. They're probably, Doug Schwab, but you're like, yeah, we'll be there.
Dresser's
thing,
already said they're going to go.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So I'm excited, and it's a great promotion for the sport of wrestling, like you said.
Tom Brands did seem a little bit more interested in going than Kale Sanderson. Kale did not seem...
Kale's got a...
What did Tom say?
I haven't Penn State seen. Does not have to be... I don't... Tom, it was part of his interview yesterday. I can't remember exactly what he said, but... It seemed like he was right in the middle where he's like, it's a good thing, but we'll have to examine it a little bit more.
So
it
was a politically correct answer for a press conference being thrown at him for the first time.
Correct. Yeah.
And Kale Sanderson all but said, Penn State does not need to go to that.
That's exactly
Kale's
right.
Kale's got a sugar
and they
daddy.
Don't. Yeah. They don't. I mean, their budget doesn't need it. Their team doesn't need that. What they have going on right now is obviously working, so I'm sure Kale is not going to redirect the ship in any direction, and they're going to stay the course of what they're doing.
Very well put. Mark Ironside joining us, Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Back to Illinois, some good performances. I mean, Illinois is not a bad team.
No.
And I thought Iowa wrestled pretty good. What were your thoughts?
Well,
except I agree with you about Parco.
Yeah, there was four weights in there that we didn't score any takedowns. I mean, like nothing.
Yeah.
33, 41, 49, 57. I mean, we had that was a great match for was it Estrada at 57?
Yeah.
What a good match for him, though. I mean, that's a really, really good match for him. You know, kid doesn't have a ton of athletic ability, but man, he just worked his tail off out there. I think it was a 3-2 victory, if I remember right. It was a big win for him. I don't really care for the fireworks celebration that he put on afterwards and some of the language that he used, but up until that point, I was really, really
impressed
with him.
He's a youngster.
He'll learn. You know, I mean, he was out there and he was working hard. Drake, you know, we got a takedown at 33. I shouldn't say we didn't get no takedowns, just no first period takedowns. I just don't understand why we have to wait so long to score. That's just what's frustrating to watch right now, is why we're taking so long to pull the trigger and to hit offensive, you know, holds. I just don't understand. Same thing at 197. Everybody's praising Buchanan, which, you know, I am too. Look at what he does in the third period. Turns it on. He gets near points and gets a major decision. But no points in the first period? Come on. We got to get going. I mean, that's 3 minutes. I don't want to say it's completely wasted, but, I mean, we could be doing a lot more with that first 3 minutes at some of those weights. And then even Patrick Kennedy at 174, we scored a defensive takedown off of the other guy's shot, and then that was it. We never scored an offensive takedown in that whole entire match. If we're going to compete and beat teams like Ohio State for one this weekend, and then especially if we want to compete with Penn State and we want to beat Oklahoma State, we have to start putting more points on the scoreboard. And, I mean, for sure, that's what we need to do. So I don't know what the magical solution there is, and I know I'm preaching to the choir if Tom hears it, because he knows, and he was extremely upset with Keeter after that match when he came up to do the post-match show that the other day after the Illinois match for waiting so long and for being in that position again. But I don't know. That's where he gets paid the big bucks, to figure out what we need to do to get these guys to be more offensive. I'm not just talking first period. I'm talking first, second, third, and, you know, come out scoring and keep scoring.
It was quite shocking to see go from the Iowa-Illinois duel to watching the Penn State-Nebraska duel right after that, which, I mean, Penn State obviously ran through Nebraska, but Nebraska wrestlers were still going for it. Like, they were trying to score on Penn State guys, and so it was very – those two duels were – just complete opposites as far as strategy.
No action really in the Iowa and Illinois duel. Illinois didn't really do anything. Now, Joey Cruz at 133, he lit scoreboard up for us. I was very impressed with Joey Cruz at 133. Gabe Arnold, one score to win against Edmund Ruth. Beautiful, beautiful shot. Beautiful high crouch out the back door. So fast, so quick. I had to go back and rewatch it in slow motion just so I could see it, because it happened so fast with the naked eye. But overall, we just not that much offense. And yeah, to your take, I didn't get to see the Nebraska and the Penn State duel, but we're going to find out how good we are this weekend, and especially come next weekend at Penn State, you know?
True. Very true there. I've got the solution. Just put Kennedy Blades highlights up
oh
there.
Oh, my Lord.
That was amazing.
You know,
Saturday
I've had
night.
So many people talk to me about that, and I was there on Saturday night to watch that.
Holy cow.
And she's a 160 pounder. That's what I weigh. I don't know if I'd want to tangle with her. I mean, she's long, she's lanky, she's hard to like get at because she's so lengthy, you know, to get it, you know, attack her. But at the same time, you see a lot of longer, lanky people like that, or women and men. It doesn't matter. They're kind of unorthodox. Not her. Not her at all.
She got one speed.
Yeah, and she's very fluent. Very aggressive, makes it look easy. Now, when you compare the men's team and people say, well, the women are, you know, more fun to watch right now. Well, yes, but look at the competition level. I mean, if Iowa was wrestling Grand Valley, I think?
Yeah, Grand Valley State.
And Augustana?
Yep.
If the men's team was wrestling those teams, you know, I'm sure you'd see something very, very similar. But at the same time, you can't take away from the women, because they are going out and getting techs and pins in the first minute of every one of their matches. And then they're not going to the second period. Very seldom do they even go a full match. They're going out, they're taking care of business, they're getting after it. So fun to watch, no doubt about it. It's fun to have the women's program down there and doing good things. There was probably 3,000 people at that meet the other night. So kudos to them and what they're doing. And the Nationals this year are right there in Extreme Arena in Coralville. So that should be a very packed house come that first weekend of March.
Mark, Iowa State really trying to find itself, I think, this year, but and didn't get good news when it was announced that Bastida was going to be out for the year. And I suppose that could impact things down the line.
For sure. No doubt. No doubt. I mean, I feel for Bastida being, was he a grad senior now? You know, that's kind of how you end it right there or whatever. But
they're appealing for medical redshirt.
They are appealing for, I'm sure that they would, you know. But we know how that is. I mean, out of all the teams in the country, Iowa is the one that understands what injuries are all about and not having guys. I mean, look at Spencer Lee, you know, look at Michael Kemmer, you know. I mean, how many guys, we could go up and down the lineup that we've had injured over the years and not have a full lineup and say, oh, man, it's just a bummer, because if we just had our full lineup, and that's kind of how Iowa State is now. And that's just, unfortunately, goes with the sport of wrestling. But the team that you don't really see have injury problems is Penn State. So, yeah. I don't know. And when they do, you don't even notice, because the next guy is
just as good.
He comes in and just takes care of business. So,
just as good. You're very fortunate you didn't have the plunge last Saturday. Because it's going to be a lot more balmy this Saturday.
Well, Saturday wouldn't have been bad. Starting last Sunday is when things got really nasty. But, yeah, this Saturday is not looking too bad. It's actually when the warmer the temperature out, the colder the water is. Because your body is used to that warm air outside. Say if it's going to be 40 degrees, it's used to 40, and then you jump in the water, and that is freaking cold. And it's a more of a shock to the system. So it just makes it a little easier to walk out there onto the ice and jump in. But, man, when you jump in, wow, that's cold.
Still time, though, to get your pledge
in. Yes, please, please, if you're out there listening and you haven't pledged yet, to me or anybody for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club's Arctic Plunge, go to the Hawkeye Wrestling Club site, go to the events page, scroll down to events, and then go to the Arctic Plunge, and then you can go to donate, and you just kind of fumble your way through it. Go to donate, and then you can see all the different people that are jumping, and you can pledge to whoever you want, preferably me, because I'm really trying hard to hit this $25,000 goal, and I've got about $3,000 left to go in a short amount of time, so... I got to get there for all the people listening and that have pledged. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. It goes a long ways, and it's a lot of hard work, but I am extremely appreciative, and so is the Hawkeye Wrestling Club for it.
All right. Very good. Well, Saturday afternoon match, that's awesome, and it's going to be awesome atmosphere, two good teams. Hope it's fun. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it, and then a huge weekend trip out east next weekend that we can have a little bit of chitter-chatter about as well, too.
Penn State.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Mark Ironside's Parents, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Back with more, including a bowling night in America preview when we come back.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Harry Douglas here, and if you're constantly on the go like I am, then earbuds are a priority. That's why you need Technique's new noise-canceling AZ-80s. Like you, these buds work as hard as they play. You'll get Technique's legendary high-res audio, along with state-of-the-art noise cancellation, so you can stay in your zone. Visit us.technics.com/sports to shop for AZ-80s now. That's us.technics.com/sports.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And we are back at 3:53. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN. As we thank Mark Ironside one more time here for joining us. We will talk more about Iowa basketball coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And we will address kind of the culture coming up tomorrow on the program. Kevin Lehman will join us as well. We'll get his thoughts on Iowa basketball and basketball in general on Thursday with the Off the Glass segment, and that will be coming up tomorrow. Iowa State women's basketball tonight, by the way,
as they will take on the BYU Cougars from Hilton Coliseum in Ames, and we'll have that for you coming up tonight. I did ask 5308, I did ask Mark as he was leaving about your question, were you surprised to see Starace come back for a chance at a fifth national title? Mark said, absolutely not. NIL money. What else is he going to do right now, he said?
The number that was thrown out there was at least seven figures. So, yeah, it made sense to come back. I don't know. Again, some of the NIL reports you can't really trust, but the number that was thrown out was at least seven figures.
Well, I'll have Kekizen possibly in there. So, I don't know. It's not going to be a cakewalk, that's for sure. It'd be fun to see him going up against one another, but it's not a slam dunk, certainly. But always appreciate Mark stopping by and talking college wrestling with us at 3:54. Mark, we've got a bowling night in America tonight to get ready for, and this preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of bowling night in America.
Well, weather rarely deters bowling night in America, and that's true again tonight. Week four of the second half of the Adult Evergreen League. The Rusty Nails take on perennial contender Durline Scale. Lanes 19 and 20 tonight, Scott.
Oh, we're on the far left. Very good. That's a fine spot to be geographically, Mark.
Yes, it is, and it's right next to another league that usually a great bunch of people. So, yeah, good spot.
That's a good spot to be. So we'll have a complete report and a wrap-up coming your way tomorrow with Bowling Night in America and Kevin Lehman, as I mentioned. And we will get to more of our discussion about Iowa men's basketball. Plenty more to get to, and I know Spencer coming up on Spencer on Sports from 4 until 6 will be talking Iowa men's basketball as well, probably about the future of Iowa men's basketball. And we'll talk about the culture and how you change the culture and what needs to be done to change the culture. And Beth Getz has talked about it with many people, Chad Lystico, one of the Register, among others. It's not snap your fingers and it gets done. I mean, this thing has been pretty much in place, Mark, for, oh gosh, 20 years, maybe even beyond 20 years. I mean, the early Alford years, there were still full houses in Iowa City. At the end of the Tom Davis era, back in the late 90s, things were starting to wane a little bit, but for the most part, there were still crowds of at least 10, 12,000 at Carver Hawkeye Arena, a far cry from what it was last night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to get Kevin Lehman's take on things. We'll do that tomorrow. And hats off to the three new Baseball Hall of Famers as well, Ichiro, Billy Wagner, and CC Sabathia.
Were you surprised all three made it? I was.
I was not. I thought Beltran or Andrew Jones might have a shot besides those three, but each row is a slam dunk, and Wagner and Sabathia made it fairly comfortably.
Again, who was the voter that did not vote for Ichiro? I mean, is this just a traditional thing now? You cannot have, you know, oh, God forbid, we have somebody who is a unanimous Hall of Famer, got all but one vote. It just drives me crazy. Yet another.
Your sheep will be found out.
All right, Mark. Good job. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and